The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning is a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topics and asks what you think. So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, and sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
All right, everybody, let's come on in for, what shall we call it? It's a Cowboys-Packers weekend. How's that going to work out? I have absolutely no idea. We got a lot of politics to talk about, a lot of crime and punishment to talk about, a lot of societal things to talk about. Stars on the Ice lost their opener to the Bruins, but played well 2-1. Baseball playoffs are underway, so lots of sports on the TV box. Cowboys Packers is 3:25 on Sunday, so that's kind of cool. Red Hot SMU hosts Tulsa. Yeah, that going on. All kinds of other cool things are happening in the world of college football. So lots of sport to keep us busy over the weekend. Weather-wise, let's take a look at this. This is really cool. I was listening to Gordon just talk about that. And yeah, we're at 90 today, 92 tomorrow, 93 on Sunday. Monday's high, 76. 76. And the low Monday night, 57. Sweet. Is it the first icy fingers of fall? I don't know. I don't know whether I'll leave that to Pete Del, because I don't know everything that's going to happen in the news. My crystal ball is no better than anybody else's. But I do know this. It's Friday.
Ah, I feel good. I feel good. Ow! I feel good.
I feel good.
I feel good.
You want me to say I feel good?
I feel good.
I would not.
So we were a little busy musically yesterday, but I'm not letting this go by. Yesterday, the 65th birthday of Stevie Ray Vaughan.
Well, now, darling.
Hard to believe he's been gone for almost 30 years.
May I have a little talk with you?
Maybe the most appropriate SRV record we can play. May I have a little talk with you from The Sky Is Crying.
Well, now, darling. May I have a little talk with you?
So we'll knock out a little SRV today as well as other things. It's a pretty sparse musical birthday day today, so that gives me a chance to get some stuff that I just want to do, because that's always fun, and it is always great to be with you as we wrap up a week. And what an amazing, amazing week this has been. I told you that no good deed's going to go unpunished, and that as we spent yesterday just awash in the magnificence of what happened in what I will forever call the miracle in the courtroom, a miracle of God's healing, a miracle of God's grace, made possible by the Lord himself speaking through Brant Jean, and the peace and just that was God at work. Couple of things trailing off of that. And I said, just brace yourself, because yourselves, plural, because not everybody's going to like this. There are God haters among us, and they are going to torch Tammy Kemp for daring to go get a Bible and offer it to Amber Geiger as a guide to her life moving forward. And right on cue from Central Casting, the snakes from the Freedom From Religion Foundation, the FFRF out of Wisconsin, have filed a complaint with the Texas Commission of Judicial Review, or whatever that thing is called. It's meaningless. These are troublemakers. This is not anything Judge Kemp needs to worry about. I quite quite frankly, advocate ignoring them. I guess an official commission needs to look into things, and perhaps they will. Judges need to remain impartial. They don't need to be offering up a lot of visible support to either side during a trial. Once a trial is done for this to happen, I think, is nothing but superb. Judge Kemp showed an enormous amount of empathy and love for Botham Jean's family. And for her to provide this type of guidance from her heart to the freshly convicted defendant, I think shows a heart that is... Listen, you know what people have said to me? They said, yeah, Mark, Tammy Kemp, she's a big old Democrat, right? Well, of course, it's Dallas County. She's a big old Democrat. She's an Obama voting, probably substantially liberal Democrat judge in Dallas County, because that's pretty well what you get in Dallas County. And you know what that, what Wednesday showed? It showed the power of God and faith to unite us. It took me back to a time when there were shared values in America, when Republicans and Democrats both were comfortable mentioning and invoking the God who made us. And I've always lamented the radical secularization and outright hostility to God that the Democrat Party institutionally has chosen to show. And so we'll get to the story about Judge Kemp here, and I just want to just offer her up as much support and love as I can. We got together over coffee, probably wouldn't agree about much of anything in terms of politics or the news, but in a courtroom that shouldn't matter, and when it comes to God himself, that doesn't matter. And I will always thank Judge Tammy Kemp for the contribution she made to making Wednesday a miracle in the courtroom. So what was the over-under? You remember we were talking about how soon are we going to have jurors talking about this? Any jurors at all? Answer is, last night, Channel 8's Bradley Blackburn had a couple of them.
We were the people that had to decide. And
we all felt like we didn't have anywhere near the law experience to decide this, but we had to because that's how jury duty works.
They only gave us their numbers, not their names, juror 21 and 34.
Which is weird because they're sitting there on camera. It's not like their faces are blurred. If you knew them, you'd go, oh yeah, that's Bill, or oh yeah, that's Linda.
Nobody else went through and saw everything that we had to see.
Who said after hearing all the testimony, when they got the jury instructions, the big decision was quick.
I think that we were all on the same page as far as us thinking that, yeah, she's guilty.
It walked through what murder was, and it was the intent to kill somebody.
Oh, good Lord. I have no quarrel. But not only do I not have a quarrel with these jurors, I will spend the rest of my life thanking them for maybe making the best out of being handed a bad situation, a crime that she did not commit, and then turning around and delivering a sentence that seems just, and it's the amount of time you spend in jail that probably matters the most. But this was absolutely while the jury did not act through the bloodthirstiness of racial revenge, I absolutely believe that District Attorney John Cruzo did. And this was a prosecution that dripped with racial revenge. It had to be murder in order to placate the racially hopped up streets of Dallas. I absolutely believe that. Nothing will peel me away from it. So the jury, all they had was murder. They had a fallback of manslaughter, but that doesn't work either. That's recklessness. And then they dwelled forever on this notion of, did she intend to kill him? Well, of course she intended to kill him. He was in her apartment, or so she thought. So that's the thing, is if you see somebody say, you know what, I'm going to kill you. Yes, that's the definition of murder. But that completely obviates the thing that made this such a tragic mistake. That's that she didn't know she was in somebody else's apartment. That's why criminally negligent homicide was always what this should have been. So I'm not going to spend a lot of time fussing and moaning, because what wound up happening was as close to justice as you can get when the prosecution is hell-bent on racial revenge.
And that's the first thing it gave us. And we all just did a show of hands, and all 12 of us said she was guilty probably within 5 minutes of being in there.
They said it came down to Geiger's intent and what she said in her testimony.
Before she even went inside, she made up her mind outside the door that she was going to kill the threat.
Exactly, because she perceived it as a threat.
After the verdict, they didn't know they'd have to decide a punishment.
guilt, innocence was hard, but punishment phase, there was a lot of crying.
And hear about the life lost and the life at stake. They felt the state's request for 28 years was too long, that it was not what Botham would have wanted.
They asked for 28 years, and I'm going to be honest and true. I was like, I can't give her 28 years.
I agreed. And it felt like when they asked for how many years he would have been on Sunday is 28 years. That's why they asked that. It felt like they were asking us to take an eye for an eye for both of them. And
Wow. God bless you guys. Let the record show if you care. This is an African-American woman and a white guy. And listen, and I was among those saying, get ready for a racially hopped up verdict. They're going to come looking for blood, possibly. And I was so pleasantly surprised when that did not happen. And to the young lady, juror number 21, whatever you want to call her, I said, they're asking for 28 years. And I said, I can't give her 28 years because a lot of us thought there was a possibility that this jury would come in there and say, 28, shoot, let's go 99. Let's do it. Do it for Trayvon. Do it for Philando. Do it for Michael Brown. Because God knows that's what the activist attorneys were doling out in the courthouse lobby. And for this gentleman, juror number whatever, I forgot what he is, to say that because I kind of thought this same thing. When they asked for 28, he said, well, how about that for every year that Botham Jean lived? I thought, well, that's kind of that kind of sounds like a bit. Kind of sounds like they're just like, well, there's something kind of lyrical about that, something kind of symmetrical. But no, and they didn't buy that either.
I feel like he isn't someone who would take an eye for an eye.
They know many disagree with their decisions, but they believe they were fair.
Because we were all considering both sides. We thought about Botham. We thought about Amber. We thought about the family. We thought about Amber's family. We thought about all of that stuff.
I'm moved again. There's so much to grab a hold of your heart here. It's so easy to be jaded about our jury system because a lot of juries really screw up. And boy, can they possibly be expected to even more likely screw up in the midst of a hotbed of racial tensions in a city like Dallas? I mean, the stage was set here for something that would not have been justice at all. And this young lady and this young man and their 10 compadres there on that jury, they delivered us something very, very special. And this is exactly, and it's, oh, so remember the calls we did on Tuesday and Wednesday? It's like, who was the gentleman who said we need professional jurors? And I understand that because we can't just go dragging 12 random people off the street and throw them in the box and hope to God that our lives are dependent upon their wisdom. Well, that's exactly what the jury system is. That's exactly what the jury system does. Professional jurors is a terrible idea. They'd get all jaded. They wouldn't judge things like real people. We want people to judge things like real people. And this group of real people was wise and measured, and they did us a great, great service.
First with a difficult...
In fact, I want you to hear this one more time.
Amber.
Hang on, here you go.
For both of them, and I feel like he isn't someone who would take an eye for an eye.
They know many disagree with their decisions, but they believe they were fair.
Because we were all considering both sides. We thought about both of them. We thought about Amber. We thought about the family. We thought about Amber's family. We thought about all of that stuff.
And that's exactly what jurors are supposed to do. Think about all of that stuff. Thank you, guys. Thank you again.
Jurors with a difficult job. In Dallas, I'm Bradley Blackburn.
Okay, that's some journalism, man. Another wonderful reporter working this trial, Andrea Lucia, Channel 11, has the story of the complaint from the Freedom From Religion Foundation torching Judge Tammy Kemp for bringing out a Bible and offering it to Amber Geiger as a path forward in her life. These people are snakes. We'll talk about them in a bit. Let's do some calls, too. Mike Gallagher's coming up for his Friday burst of wisdom. It is a day. We're heading into the weekend. I am stoked. I hope everybody's good today. I'm feeling good. 866-660-5759, 722, Mark Davis, 660 AM, The Answer.
There's beauty in the silver singing river. There's beauty in the sunlight in the sky.
This is 26-year-old Rod Stewart.
These are nothing else can steal the beauty.
on Every Picture Tells a Story.
That I remember in my true love's eye.
Yeah, pretty good little hit on that call, Dale. What was that? Oh, yeah, Maggie May.
My own true love is waiting.
This is Rod Stewart singing a Bob Dylan record.
Yes,
Tomorrow is a Long Time.
Only if she were lying by me.
866-660-5759. We are in Denton. Danny, Mark Davis, welcome. Happy Friday. How are you?
I'm doing well, sir.
Good.
Quick question. If you get the exact same circumstances of Amber Geiger's case, but switch roles, you have a black officer who shoots a white person.
Right.
Do you think the district attorney's office would have sought a murder charge against that officer?
I do not.
My second question is this. It's more of a statement.
Mm-hmm.
I think this has set a reckless and dangerous precedent in Dallas, because there will come a time when you have a black officer shoot an unarmed white person, and I hope the people in Dallas who are the race baiters and the race agitators have that come back, and that we demand that officer to be also placed under the same standard as Amber Geiger and charged with murder.
But that would be wrong for us to do so. And I certainly won't do it. And I know it's, the oldest, adage in the book is two wrongs don't make a right. We should always look for justice that is accurate and fair. And that's why I so thank this jury, because they were handed a plate. They were handed a buffet of racial revenge, a murder charge that is completely from the playbook of racial revenge. And they said, look, we can't let her walk. And so this is what we've got. And they found a way to, and this is just listening to the jurors, again, whom I love and whom I respect and whom I thank God for. Well, she intended to kill him, so I guess it's murder. No, it's not. It completely obviates and forgets and neglects the notion of her completely mistaken presumption. And the jury believed that she made a mistaken presumption. It's not like they thought she was lying about that. So, but I'll tell you, if she'd have walked, that would have been bad. I would have thought that would have been bad. As it is, the closest thing to justice has happened, and I'm grateful. And let's look for that in every case moving forward, irrespective of race, irrespective of the things that the activists want us to focus on. Thanks, sir. 866-660-5759, 730. Here's something I'm always grateful for at this point, too, to hop into a Gordon Griffin newscast and come out of it with a big heaping helping of Uncle Mike Gallagher here on a Friday. That's what's coming up, 731. Here's Gordon. It is hard to keep track sometimes. But if memory serves, Mike Gallagher, Indianapolis, correct?
Yes, sir.
Okay,
yes,
well,
sir.
Here's Johnny Mellencamp, a little Indiana artist for you. Little check it out from John Cougar Mellencamp.
Nice,
so what's going on in Indy?
It looks like a nice city. I mean, I haven't seen much of it, but it's kind of cool. I mean, home of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. We're
yep.
the Indiana Convention Center.
Cool.
And my buddy Mike Lindell brought us here to reintroduce something called My Store. Now, we're at the Made in America 2019 convention.
Cool.
It's the first of its kind. Manufacturers, entrepreneurs, inventors, people from, it's all about American jobs, American ideas. Well, Mike has invented My Store, coming from My Pillow.
Mm-hmm.
My Store is an online site, mystore.com,
mm-hmm.
where inventors, where business people, where entrepreneurs with ingenious products can, if it's vetted and approved by Mike Lindell and the MyPillow team, can sell their product through mystore.com.
Dude.
Mike will fulfill it. Isn't that cool? I mean, it's a way to give people an opportunity who perhaps have never had a chance, but they've got a great product, a great idea. Maybe they're holding a patent on some great widget, that they can't get out to the general public. This is a way to do it. So
I'm looking at this right now, and here's the paragraph. For years, people have approached me with great products but have no way of marketing them. I'm excited to announce a revolutionary platform called MyStore.com. Here's something right here, the X-Torch solar-powered flashlight. Here's something that's a cool dog bed. I just love the name of this, the Big Lunker backyard fishing game. That's just fun to say. So MyStore.com, that's awesome.
Yeah, And it's not quite, I mean, it's just sort of in the early stages. I mean, but as the word gets out, I think you're going to be really pleased with the kind of things you can find. And it's got the Mike Lindell seal of approval.
Well,
and incidentally, Mark, I spent some time last night, about an hour with Mike. Mm-hmm. They're going after him for his support of Donald Trump.
Of course they
are. Mark, you can't even begin. I can't even, there's part of it I can't even tell you publicly, but I'll tell you privately. Mm-hmm. I'll tell you what he's going through and what MyPillow is being put through. They're targeting this company and targeting Mike like nobody's business. There's stuff that happens that the general public never hears about, and frankly never will, and that's probably as it should be, but it really does make your blood run cold. They are cold. They are vicious on the left. They are angry. They're desperate. They're panicked. Mark, I've never seen anything like it. Mike told me stories last night, took my breath away. Took my breath away. It's like something out of a Grisham novel, Mark. It's like something right out of a movie. You can't believe what they're doing, how they target people who they feel, you know, is...
I wish I were surprised, but I'm not. I mean, Mike's not an elected official, but there's some video of Iowa Senator Joni Ernst at a town hall. And there's some, and I don't even know if the attendee is a Republican. Doesn't have to be. I mean, you're a senator for all the people. Just badgering her and berating her for her support of Trump. And Senator Ernst essentially says, I'm a Republican. I favor what he's doing. I don't share your view that he's a criminal, you know, raping the Constitution. I don't know what I can do for you right here, right now, except tell you that I don't agree with you about all this stuff. So, and that's just, you know, politics in an open forum. Private citizens who dare to show their support for Trump are going to be in the crosshairs of economic punishment, if not worse.
If not worse, and it's the worst that even scares me more than the economic punishment. And I just don't know. I mean, listen, Mike Lindell has one of the most successful companies in America, and I truly believe that as Americans hear what happens to a guy like Mike Lindell and his company, they just support him even more. They buy 10 pillows, they buy bed sheets, they buy mattress toppers. It's all a great company. It's a terrific product, but they also support somebody who's fighting the good fight, and is undaunted. Mike Lindell, make no mistake, has been apolitical. He didn't know what a Democrat or a Republican was a few years ago. Mm-hmm. This is a guy, he's a former addict.
Yep.
He's owned a bar in Minnesota. He comes from a real rough and tumble kind of world, and he found the Lord, and he got his act together, and he invented this pillow and had this dream for this American-made product that has just change the way people sleep, you know, and his story is an American success story, Mark, and yet they treat him like he is Adolf Hitler. I mean, it's the most awful thing I've ever seen. Reporters, he knows who the typical leftist media reporters are, mm-hmm. who try to badger him, mm-hmm. who try to corner him, and of course he's got the greatest out of all. When reporters, because he'll talk to anybody, when reporters corner him and they start to get in his face and try to trap him, he starts talking about the Lord. He starts talking about his path with Jesus Christ and redemption and salvation, and their eyes go blank, their face goes blank, and they walk away. It's like he says it's the most effective tool.
Because it's kind of disarming in that moment, but you've given me a perfect segue, because if it's proven that people will come after you for being a fan of Trump. But as we're learning, Mike, right here in this community, people will come after you for being a fan of the Lord himself. Have you heard about pushback that Judge Tammy Kemp is getting for daring to supply some biblical hope and guidance to Amber Geiger after the conviction? Here come those snakes at the Freedom From Religion Foundation who are filing some action with some Texas Judiciary Commission. It will go precisely nowhere. But we should always know that on a day that was uniting and uplifting for virtually everyone, there are haters and malcontents who will always try to make trouble. No good deed goes unpunished.
And make no mistake, it's not just that goofy group. There were a lot of people on the left who came after her. Joe Madison, who's a liberal, activist.
Jemele Hill. Yep.
Jemele Hill. They went after her because that's my theory, and I've shared this theory with you before. The left takes anything good and turns it into something bad. They turn everything upside down. How could anybody watch what happened in that Dallas courtroom and not walk away uplifted and inspired. Well, I mean, Amber Geiger's going to prison.
Right. Like, that's not enough. But it's kind of funny because I know Joe a little bit. We worked together back in the day. Jamil, I don't know. But I know what's driving them. I don't think they have outright hostility to God. I don't think the Bible was a problem. I think the hug was a problem because here was a judge daring to show the slightest decency to the greatest pairing of evil that can happen, a white person in a police uniform. That's what drove them. And there is no decency to be shown those people because the white cop is the devil of the day for these activists.
Any doubt anyone could have about your theory just is disproven by what they did. So right. They took a beautiful act. They took a tremendous moment, and like you said, a sliver of decency, one moment where she hugged her, she gave her a Bible, read John 3:16, you know, just take a look at it, just take a, you know, turn your heart to the Lord,
become a better person.
It's the same message of Botham Jean's little brother. He said the same thing to her. He said, turn your life to Christ, that's what my brother would want. I mean, this was all, everything about it. And I kept thinking to myself, well, no one can find fault with any of this.
Have you met America? You knew it would come from somewhere. And you've made the best point possible. Whether it's race-baiting activists or people who hate the Lord, they think they're doing things that to sort of honor the deceased Botham Jean or to do things because they're angry that he's dead. His spirit came to life in that courtroom. His spirit of forgiveness and grace through his brother. Just simply fantastic. We'll talk about that.
A caller to my show yesterday put it best. He said his legacy was in that courtroom.
Absolutely.
The way that young man lived his life. Yep. And can we say something about the way the Jean family was reared? Where the way these boys were reared, the mother, what apparently a wonderful inspirational force she must have been, a tremendous parent. So, you know, I just can't say enough about how much that whole day meant to me. And once again, hey, I remember a big mouth on the radio a few years ago wrote 50 things liberals love to hate.
That's right.
Liberals love to hate everything that we think is normal and good about America.
That's right. To know what Mike's talking about, go to Amazon and get everything Mike has ever written, Surrounded by Idiots, 50 things liberals love to hate about America, et cetera, et cetera. Hey, so you're in Indianapolis. I got to ask you something because you had some bitterness in advance that the helicopter would not be available to you. Was that in fact the case?
It was grounded. It was raining,
right.
and I knew that God is going to have some words for me when the day comes because I was annoyed.
Okay,
am I to be annoyed?
It's all right.
Yeah.
So I was annoyed. So Mike had to subject himself to ground transportation to get
Uber.
out to Newark, right?
Yeah. Okay. No. To LaGuardia.
LaGuardia. Okay. And yes. does the helicopter go to LaGuardia too?
It goes to LaGuardia, Newark, and
cool.
JFK. Five minutes, baby.
Who among us that has the ability to do it? And this is some coin. There's a reason I'm taking you down this road. That ordinarily, rather than you could get from Lower Manhattan, you know, 5 minute helicopter ride to LaGuardia, and it would have cost what? Roughly
$195 if you're not a member. Right. $95 if you're a member. $95.
And how much is membership?
$600
per.
$600 a year.
Oh, dude,
if you travel as much as you do,
come on, man. Of course,
Mark, it's cheaper than an Uber.
So here's why I'm asking.
Robin Leach.
Here's why. Yes. No, I make fun of you, and I love that.
I know.
Because it's what I do. For
I do too.
But okay. but here's the thing. I think if here was a story yesterday, Uber itself, and we're both big fans of this company, started its own helicopter service.
Mark, I'm on Blade. Right next to me is the Uber helicopter service. I could take Uber if I wanted. They have an Uber helicopter service in New York.
Now, the reason I asked they said that thing. I don't know if they do memberships. They said that thing was $200 to get from Lower Manhattan to JFK.
But here's what's kind of cool about the Uber experience.
Yeah.
It's a little pricier.
Yeah.
But when you call, when you get on the app, the Uber app,
mm-hmm.
it gives you an option for Uber Chopper. And when you call for it, when you say, I want the Uber Chopper,
right.
the car comes, gets you,
yeah.
takes you to the heliport. In other words, the whole experience is all on the app, like you're calling Uber.
It's tremendous, unbelievable.
Now, but it's just a little pricier, and so I just take an Uber anyway to the heliport, and then I take Blade, because $95, I can expense $95, and nobody even bats an eye. It's cheaper than Uber.
Right. It's not even his own money. I'm Robin Leach. No wonder he's so extravagant. That's awesome. That is awesome.
It's Uncle Ed.
So will
Uncle
you be again? Listen, will you? So you're in Indianapolis this morning, and then right back. You have no. Are we going to New York or the mansion in Florida?
I think I got to go back to Manhattan for a few days. Good, got a lot good. To do there, and then Florida, and then I'm going to Portland, Oregon next weekend. I'll tell you about that next week.
There are three talk shows there. First, have you been there before?
And you can't get there from here.
It is beautiful city. The weather is great. It is beautiful. If you like micro breweries and cool restaurants and beautiful scenery, it is great.
Yeah, it's also home of Antifa.
Exactly. It's also one of the most. It makes San Francisco look like Midlothian.
I'm going to wear my MAGA hat. I'm going to march around Portland with my MAGA hat, my red, white, and blue shirt.
Part of me says that would be fun. Part of me says you'd be dead by nightfall. So don't do that.
Violent. They are violent people there.
Mike goes to Portland. We'll have a first-hand report. All righty, man.
Have a wonderful weekend.
Mike Gallagher in Indy with wonderful stories of entrepreneurship and cool stuff. It's the Mike Gallagher Show, and he's with us at 10 on 660 AM. The Answer, 7:50. Little Mary Chapin Carpenter. 1992. Great album called Come On, Come On. Take my chances.
I took a walk in the rain one day on the wrong side of the track.
Big hit off of there was probably He Thinks He'll Keep Her. Oh, Passionate Kisses, that was on there too.
Just to see how my heart would react.
Love me some NCC. 866-660-5759. We are in Plano. Nathan, happy Friday. How are you?
Oh, I'm pretty good.
Hey.
Heading back up to Rolla, Missouri for homecoming and get to see two of my Pledge Brothers I haven't seen in about 12 years.
Excellent, excellent. Safe travels.
So anyway, I think the jury actually managed to hit a home run because there's nobody happy with the way things turned out. You know, the activists were all happy that she got convicted of murder. They weren't happy with the sentence.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the rest of us are all happy with the sentence, but we're not happy she was convicted of murder.
Yep.
So, you know, that tells me they came to a good deal. And I'm thinking this jury was probably sitting in there when they were deliberating what charge to give her. And they started already talking about sentencing, even though they're not supposed to. I'm pretty sure that was done. We'll never know unless somebody comes out and says it. But I think that's what happened. And I think that, you know, it tends to be we get better outcomes and more reasonable outcomes on the criminal side as opposed to the civil side, because the civil side, the lawyers, you know, shop for juries they know are going to get, you know, give the big, you know, big paydays.
Yeah. And it often doesn't have to be unanimous, so you get all kinds Nathan, you're absolutely right. Beautiful points all around. I don't know if the jury went in there for the guilt and innocence phase and said, all right, look, we got to find her. She can't walk, so let's go with the murder thing. And then when we come back to do punishment, we'll soften the murder thing so that all, you know, it's sort of splitting the baby. Sort of a very horrible phrase, but that, you know what I'm talking about. I don't. It may have been fairly unspoken. They may have simply said, look, we got to convict her of something. She did indeed, and she intended to do what she did. There's intent in the murder statute. So, you know, without even thought about mistaken location, let's convict. And then when they got back in, they said, okay, we've convicted, but now let's deliver a sentence that comports more with what she actually did. And they did it. And I am grateful. I did not expect to come out of this trial grateful. And I am. And I'm grateful to them. I'm grateful to Botham Jean's brother Brandt, and grateful to the Lord who made it all possible that miraculous day in that courtroom. 7:59, Mark Davis, 660 AM. The Answer.
3-star General Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.